Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable here. This is a pre-record. I have Sinead here with me. It is often quite difficult to find the time for us to get together to discuss anything, but it's even harder at 8 p.m. to do a live show because our son should be in bed, but instead he's running in, busting into the garage, aka our studio. So we're doing this as a pre-record, and we're going to find little chunks of time to be able to put together a show for you all here. Tonight, what I think it would be a great topic would be the Weather Underground, which we watched a documentary on last night. So that would be Friday night. While Sinead's show was playing, we watched this documentary. I knew it was going to be biased because, you know, leftist media, yeah, aka Jewish media. But I didn't realize just how biased this documentary would be.
Yeah, like usually they at least have a few people that are at least pretending to be critical of it all, but they didn't even have that. It was just an advertisement.
The FBI said the Weather Underground organization, which took credit for the bombing, is the same radical group which was responsible for the bombing of the U.S. Capitol in 1971 and the Pentagon in 1972.
Hello. This is the first communication from the Weatherman Underground. I'm going to read a declaration of a state of war. Kids know the lines are drawn. Revolution is touching all of our lives.
This system is going to be overthrown. It's going to mean a fight. And it's going to mean a lot of white people risking a lot of things.
Don't ever say we're going into a revolution. We're in a revolution. Now the question is, who's going to win it?
Freaks are revolutionaries, and revolutionaries are freaks. Within the next 14 days, we will attack a symbol or institution of American injustice.
Does have any information on where these people are located should immediately contact the FBI.
There's no way to be committed to nonviolence in the middle of the most violent society that history's ever created. I'm not committed to nonviolence in any way.
When you feel that you have right on your side, you can do some horrific things.
Directed by Sam Green and Bill Siegel, The Weather Underground.
Yeah, so The Weather Underground, for people who aren't too familiar, they were this group that branched off from the SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society, and they were extreme leftists, completely anti-white.
Terrorists.
And they started engaging in terrorist actions, bombing federal buildings, bombing police headquarters, things like that. And they bombed a number of different places, and supposedly they were trying to reduce the number of casualties. They didn't want to hurt anybody. They just wanted to
make a statement.
Right. And so you have some prominent figures like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn as part of their leadership. Now, these people are all interviewed throughout the documentary. It is their perspective that you're hearing throughout the whole thing. And you're not getting anybody from the other side saying, these were a group of terrorists.
That's how they affected me in my life.
Mm-hmm. And there were people affected by it. One boy, I think, was 8 years old when he got torn up by a nail bomb. And a lot of this was brought up in the 2008 election between McCain and Obama because of Obama's ties to Bill Ayers, which are legitimate. Obama got his political start essentially in Chicago at Bill Ayers' home. They worked on a number of projects together. Bill Ayers was Obama's mentor.
His autobiography, right?
Ayers claims that he wrote his autobiography. Yes, Obama's famous Dreams of My Father.
And then you have the Columbia connection. Ayers taught at Columbia. Barry Satora went there.
Supposedly, yeah. You also had, I'm pretty sure it was Columbia, where Eric Holder staged a sit-in, or like they stormed an unused reserve barracks and turned it into the Malcolm X Lounge.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the universities of this country have always been a hotbed for anti-white terrorism. Yeah. And it was just... It was incredible to watch this, the manipulation that was going on with certain scenes. You'd have this really bouncy, uplifting music while they're talking about, like, the different places that they're bombing. Yeah, kind of like that.
We're having a ball.
Yeah, and it was completely biased, as we've said, completely. Oh, yeah. And the way that they do this is they set up the big alien dialectic. They show the horror of what's happening in Vietnam, and they present the alternative
to
that.
Oh, you don't like this, you know, senseless violence and killing innocent people for no reason at all? Well, join the commies and kill white people, because that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. They present some of the anti-white rhetoric within this documentary, which is called The Weather Underground. What was it, from 2009, maybe?
Yeah, it was on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's on Netflix.
So... they present some of the anti-white rhetoric, but not all of it, of course. They don't want you to know how extreme.
How they were going to kill babies and stuff.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, sticking it to the pigs, sticking it to the man, the bankers.
To your local cop. Like, they somehow influence foreign policy in the war in Vietnam.
That doesn't matter, because they're racist against the poor blacks who didn't do nothing.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, like that guy that escaped from jail and got shot.
Yeah.
Tried to escape from jail, and they all were so mad that they shot this man that was trying to escape jail. I mean, what do you think is going to happen when you try to escape jail?
And then there was another incident that sparked a big uprising.
Murder, right?
It was the supposed murder of a Black Panther, one of their great spokespeople. He was supposedly gunned down in his bed.
While he was sleeping.
Now, the police say that it was a 15-minute standoff, you know, shootout. But then what happens is... The Black Panthers, I think this was at one of their big headquarters or something, they let all of the media and the public come through and tour their house.
Where
there's a crime scene, where there's the bloody bed
everywhere.
Everything. And you just think,
how
is that able to happen in the crime scene? And you brought up, it reminds me of the San Bernardino shooting.
Where the media just stormed this guy's apartment. A crime scene, an active crime scene.
And they're touching everything. Picking up his passport and everything.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ludicrous. Yeah. So, I had to be wondering whether or not...
That was real.
That was actually real or part of this psyop to get people on the side of groups like the Weather Underground, an openly communist revolutionary group.
Yes. And when I asked you last night, you know, what was the real reason? I know we had the Gulf of Tonkin and everything, but what was the real reason for Vietnam? And we couldn't really figure it out. And you suggested that maybe... One of the reasons, well, obviously harvesting human suffering, for sure, they do that.
Mm-hmm. Testing out things with Colonel Michael Aquino.
Yes, his Psy War stuff, his torture procedures.
Satanic technology,
uh-huh.
yeah.
But then also as a justification for the ants, for the solution, which is, oh, power to the people, fight the system and kill Whitey.
You probably could not have had the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah, the counterculture style.
Without the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they're crazy.
That was what it was all about.
They're psychopathic enough to have that as the mm-hmm. objective. And, oh, well, sure, we'll wage a war to get there.
Yeah.
They think big picture.
Yes.
Now, of course,
I think
they kill a number of different birds with one stone.
Of course.
So it's not just about that, but I think that was definitely part of the plan.
Yeah. And it's just like a testing ground.
And that's why you have the Laurel Canyon crowd, you know. Jim Morrison's father being the admiral at the Gulf of Tonkin and so many other people.
And then you have like the, you know, the Roman Polanski thing, the Manson thing, which a lot of them, Sharon Tate, I believe her father was military intelligence. All these mm-hmm. all these characters in these different psyops are tied to the military in some way. Obviously all of Laurel Canyon mm-hmm. is as well.
Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to point out about, well, an omission from the documentary is just how Jewish this revolutionary group, the Weather Underground,
actually was. It was maybe 75% Jewish.
They only mentioned, only had one woman mentioning her Jewish family.
Yeah. So, but you could tell with the other ones, they just
looked. Of course, of course. But they present themselves as privileged white
yes.
kids from college who are trying to, you know, rough it out and become revolutionaries and tough and violent.
Yep.
And that's not the case. Now, let me turn...
privileged, rich Jewish family.
Let me turn quickly to this Metapedia article. And, you know, yeah, you shouldn't always trust Metapedia, especially the English version, where they don't have always such flattering things to say about people like Sinead and myself.
I think they even took mine down.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't even show up anymore.
We'll check the German one then. Now, yeah. For the Weather Underground, they have a section here, Jewish Leadership. Despite the perception of the Weathermen as being an organization of disaffected white youths, five of the seven prominent leaders mentioned by the website Jewish Achievement are, in fact, Jewish.
Hmm.
Mark Rudd, Bernadine Dorn, it was her father who's Jewish, supposedly her mother was a Christian Scientist from maybe Sweden, Naomi Jaff, David Gilbert, and Laura Whitehorn are specifically mentioned. Now, you don't have to take Metapedia's word for it. Let's go over to Tablet Mag. You know, Tablet, mm-hmm. Jewish publication. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to read a couple short paragraphs here. That near catastrophe for the organization took place when I was living in Manhattan, teaching at the State University of New York at Stony Brook and in contact with my wife, who was part of the Brooklyn Underground Collective that included Robert Roth, who was 20, Ron Fliegelman, who would later admit to making bombs, and Mike Spiegel, who became a lawyer. The catastrophe that's being referenced is when, I'm pretty sure they're referencing when they accidentally bombed.
The bomb accidentally went off.
Yeah, they bombed their own people
yeah.
by accident.
Yeah.
And
maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Here's the next paragraph. There were lots of Jews in the Weathermen. The above-mentioned individuals, so all those people, Robert Roth, Ron Fliegelman, if you couldn't tell, and Mike Spiegel, yeah, as well as John Jacobs, Judy Clark, Dave Gilbert, Kathy Boudin, Mark Rudd, and Naomi Jaff. None of them publicly identified as Jews or observed Jewish holidays, but they were aware of the extermination of 6 million Jews. Ted Gold,
I'm sure they were.
Who had been a member of Columbia SDS before he joined Weathermen, famously exclaimed that if it would take extreme repression before a revolution in the United States, we'll have to have fascism.
Wow.
So if it comes to it, if the only way to get revolution, sure, we have to have fascism. So you have to wonder, what are they setting up with mm-hmm. some of these fascies?
Fascination. Okay? Nation.
So no one seemed to be troubled by H. Rapp Brown's comment, want to play Nazis? Black folks ain't going to play Jews. And then what did we have? We had Jews playing Nazis, like
yep.
Frank Cohen
yep.
and... Heine Bach and what's the guy?
Many others.
Yeah.
Anglin.
So many. James Fields.
Yeah.
The history of Jewish socialists, communists, and anarchists was forgotten. Not deleted. Forgotten in the rush to honor Cubans, Vietnamese, African Americans, and Palestinians. Almost every other ethnic group except Jews.
Oh.
That was on purpose.
Yeah, of course. Of course, because then people would start to connect things and say, hey, wait a second.
Yeah.
What? And what I wanted to know, too, is where they got all the money for these projects. They built housing. they had all of this money flowing in for these projects and for organizing these large events. Where is it coming from?
These were Jewish communist terrorists bombing police buildings, federal buildings, and openly advocating anti-white policies. Now, as I mentioned, not mentioned in the documentary was their extreme rhetoric. And we'll play this at the end. I downloaded a few clips. One was the FBI infiltrator, the informant, who was saying that they planned to intern in concentration camps 25 million people and murder the ones who just couldn't be re-educated.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. You know, we become responsible then for administrating, you know, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. Now, I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
And then there was a professor who was involved. He wasn't an infiltrator or anything. He was just involved. And he said at the last above-ground meeting of the Weather Underground, before they all went underground because, right, you know, they started their bombing campaign, they were debating whether or not it is, you know, morally sound to, if it is ethical, to murder all newborn white babies.
Yeah.
Because through no fault of their own, they're going to grow up to be oppressors.
Yeah.
And so they've just got to murder them. And the professor said that at the time, you know, it seemed logical, seemed reasonable. Shoot. And somebody had raised an objection to it, and they were essentially booed down.
Wow.
Though the townhouse explosion slowed them down, weathermen survivors burrowed underground and carried on, eventually claiming responsibility for dozens of bombings.
I remember going to the last above ground weather, it was the weathermen or the weather underground, the last above ground convention, and sitting in a room, and the question that was debated was it or was it not the duty of every good revolutionary to kill all newborn white babies? And at that point, it seemed like a relevant framing of an issue. The logic being, hey, look, through no fault of their own, these white kids are going to grow up to be part of an oppressive racial establishment internationally. And so really, you know, your duty is to kill newborn white babies. And I remember one guy kind of tentatively and apologetically suggesting that that seemed like it may be contradictory to the larger humanitarian aims of the movement and being kind of booed down.
So we had Jewish communist terrorists in this country who were advocating for the infanticide of white babies. Mm-hmm. And what happened to them when they eventually turned themselves in?
I think maybe 2 years they got in jail,
Few of them. Most of them walked
completely
free.
They're all walking free.
They had some BS about the statute of limitations.
Yeah, or the FBI, you know, didn't get warrants or something, yeah, so they couldn't use the evidence. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if a group of white people, not Jews pretending to be white, but actual white people who weren't communists, were bombing federal buildings, were terrorizing the United States.
Infanticide
of all Jewish babies, yeah. of all black yeah. babies, whoever, Mexican babies, any other group.
Right.
And then, you know, we hide out underground. Like they couldn't find
right,
them,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
And then come forward and say, "Hey, it was us.
Sorry.
Sorry." And then, "Oh, don't worry. You could be a professor at Columbia." Oh, and yeah. Ayers was at University of Chicago as well.
Wow.
And what is really interesting about Ayers, too, by the way, is this article from September 11th, 2001. What happened on that day in New York?
September 11th? World
yeah, more WTC, yes, of course. September 11th, 2001, in the New York Times, so coming out of New York, the headline here, "No regrets for a love of explosives. In a memoir of sorts, a war protester talks of life with the weatherman. I don't regret setting bombs," Bill Ayers said. "I feel we didn't do enough." And it says, "Mr. Ayers, who spent the 1970s as a fugitive in the Weather Underground, was sitting in the kitchen of his big turn-of-the-19th-century stone house in Hyde Park District of Chicago."
Oh. Sounds like he's living a really oppressed life.
It mentions their logo, too, which is very telling.
What is it? Can I see?
Well, you saw it in the documentary. I'll pull it up. But it's a rainbow with a lightning bolt.
Okay.
Weather Underground logo. Oh no, they have the logo for the actual weather service okay. called the Weather Underground. You know about that?
No.
Mm-hmm. I think it's part of the weather company.
Really?
Yeah. So this is the Weather Underground like weather service logo.
Oh
but,
wow.
But this is a black and red version. Oh come on.
Pop-ups.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So that's okay.
And they have some ones where they actually have the colors in there too, but it's a rainbow with a lightning bolt going through it.
Huh. Rainbow Nation.
Mm-hmm. Now, just a couple more things here. So now Ayers has written a book, Fugitive Days. He's 56, calls it a memoir. He writes that he participated in the bombings of New York City Police Headquarters in 1970, of the Capitol Building in 1971, the Pentagon in 1972, and others as well. But the Pentagon, 1972, they're writing about this, the Pentagon being bombed in 1972. And
the Pentagon gets hit by a supposed plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't this just...
And we should do more. It's like, okay, well, was that you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an extension of them. I mean, it's communist Jews that rigged that building.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. And the neocons of today, right? We're told that... Mm-hmm. I mean, the official story is pretty much most of them, like the crystals... came from a background of being Trotskyites.
Yeah. You should call them Bolsheviks. Neocoms.
Yeah.
Neocommies.
Yeah. Now, here's just one more part from that New York Times article. Mr. Ayers, who in 1970 was said to have summed up the weatherman philosophy as, "Kill all the rich people. Break up their cars and apartments. Bring the revolution home. Kill your parents. That's where it's really at." Is today distinguished professor of education at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And he says he doesn't actually remember suggesting that rich people be killed or that people kill their parents, but it's been quoted so many times I'm beginning to think I did, he said. It was a joke about the distribution of wealth.
Hmm. Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who could be behind this.
Well,
gee.
There's a lot that I didn't actually know that was featured in the documentary. Not a lot, but some things, like how it was the Weather Underground who busted Timothy Leary out of prison.
Yeah, for like $20,000 or something.
Yeah, he had some joints, so Timothy Leary was locked up for 10 years or something, yeah. And they busted him out. So ridiculous.
Yeah, like how they did that makes no sense.
And of course, he's connected to the CIA. It yes. looks like this whole operation was connected to probably not just the CIA, but also Mossad. That's why they got off.
Yeah, they had ties with the Eternal Brotherhood, or the Brotherhood of Eternal Love, or whatever it was.
Yeah, who was making the CIA acid, right?
Yeah.
Which, I'm pretty sure, what was it, at the Jonestown compound where their drugs were found, or no, what was the Manson's?
Manson's, yeah.
Manson's, yeah.
Manson's. They were taking something called Orange Sunshine.
Yeah. Makes me think of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah,
about
very
basically
strange.
Erasing memories and mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out to Montauk.
reference to Montauk Project. Yeah. Is, yeah, or the Montauk chair.
Yeah.
It's eerie out
Weird
there.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So there's so much that can be mentioned just about this one particular group.
Yeah.
But it's just so indicative of the world that we live in.
Yeah, this documentary just gushing over them like they're wonderful freedom fighters.
Yeah. They're these heroic people who just wanted to stop the war by bringing the war home and terrorizing people here.
Yeah. Totally makes sense. You guys don't like violence, so I guess, you know, let's go kill some white people.
It's just, that's some serious Jewish privilege to,
oh, yeah.
to bomb the Pentagon, mm-hmm. New York City police headquarters.
And they're walking free.
The Capitol building.
Not only are they walking free, they're being glorified.
Yeah.
And they've got money, they're good, they're set. It's
so infuriating where people who called for the mass murder of millions, tens of millions of Americans,
yeah.
and also for the infanticide of all white children, are celebrated heroes and yeah. walking free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is an insane world right now. Truly is.
Yeah. Well, anything else you could think of regarding the documentary that stands out as noteworthy?
Not really. Pretty much covered everything, especially that whole murder crime scene, which is BS. I mean, you don't allow random... They had, it was a museum. They had people queued up outside the door to come in and see the crime scene. Mm-hmm. They were probably charging
$5. To agitate the blacks.
Yep.
And they mention in it briefly COINTELPRO.
Oh, yeah. They talk about COINTELPRO like they weren't COINTELPRO.
As if, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something we got to worry about.
The government is against them because they're such a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
It's just... Oh, you know what we should talk about? Is the connections between the Weather Underground and what's going on these days. What has taken place with the white movement, right?
So... Yeah.
We mentioned the quote about how they might need fascism to bring about the revolution. Well, I really do honestly think that they've set up the alt-right and their all their BS in order to set the straw man to fight against and bring in the revolution. And that's why they have such odious characters that everybody can hate so as to make them, the anti-white communists, seem more sympathetic.
That's right.
And... The Weather Underground had their days of rage. Was that 1970?
Yes.
And the documentary that was put out about the alt-right was in 2018, maybe 2017.
Something like that.
It was called the Age of Rage. I think it was 2018.
Clearly, you know, hinting at Days of Rage.
Yeah, alt-right, Age of Rage. And you have Richard Spencer. And these people back then, they called themselves the New Left. Richard mm-hmm. Spencer saying... The alt-right is the new left.
Yep.
Even if a lot of the people who are involved in it don't understand, what they're doing is furthering the objectives of the new left. Mm-hmm. I love that quote where, who wants to dress up and play Nazis? That's what they're. Yeah, that's what they
that's
were going
what they're
to
doing.
Do in order to bring about the revolution.
Absolutely.
So very and telling.
Laughing at everybody that's falling for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Eric Stryker, the Bolshevik.
Yeah, who was he on with
taking
recently?
Over. Oh, Timothy Kelly from Our Interesting Times.
Yeah. This Stryker guy is really making the rounds.
I used to post some of Timothy Kelly's shows back in the day.
Yeah.
He did shows with Joe Atwell. I don't know if they still do them together. Powers and Principalities. And Joe was who used to be with Jan Urban. And they did some interesting stuff, but... They would always push this E. Michael Jones type.
Yeah, Logos.
No, not necessarily. I don't know if Atwell was pushing Logos so much, though Timothy Kelly has interviewed E. Michael Jones a number of times. But it was more that the white race, talking about the white race is a psyop. We could talk about ethnic enclaves. And the idea of the white race is what helped to break up.
Whiteness doesn't exist.
Break up the ethnic enclaves, where you know you have your Polish community, that's strength, but... Whiteness, that's just...
No.
It's a Jewish psyop. When you can actually go back and look at historical documents or people writing about the white race or Europeans at large, as a people.
My test is, okay, let's drop you into the middle of the ghetto and see if people think you're white or not. I'm pretty sure they're going to think you're white. Okay, so there is such a thing as race, and you're going to be targeted in that ghetto because you're white. Let's drop Michael Jones in the ghetto.
Yeah, even if they think that they're completely correct, the white race doesn't exist. It's just retarded because you can obviously see that it does. We are being actively discriminated against for being white.
Right.
Not getting promoted, not getting hired, not getting accepted to different colleges. Affirmative action is targeting people who are white.
Right.
The white privilege stuff. So regardless of what you think, our enemies are destroying us by attacking whiteness and whiteness.
That's right.
I don't care if you want to label yourself as white. You're going to get labeled by the government, by Bolshevik commies who want to kill your children.
Go apply for a job. They're going to ask you, they're going to check a box for Caucasian. You don't have a freaking choice. It doesn't matter if you don't identify as white or Caucasian. Caucasian's a stupid term I don't agree with, but that's what they will categorize you as. And they're going to check that box whether you identify as white or not. That's how you're perceived. And there is such a thing as whiteness. Are you kidding me? As someone that went to almost completely non-white high school, I know that there's such a thing as being white.
and
trust me.
Even if you don't have the same ethnic background as the other white people, you are close enough genetically and culturally
and that you will
bond with each other.
Cling on to each other because we're the only thing we've got. Sucks.
And it's just, it's so obvious what they're doing because we've been very effective at bringing up this issue of white genocide.
Yeah.
And dealing with Jewish power. So what they're doing now is obfuscating the issue, saying basically you shouldn't be worried about white genocide. You should be worried about them destroying Christian culture and
the West,
removing
abstract
logos from the West. And it's not actually the Jews. Jews don't exist as a race.
No,
they just need to accept logos and then to be one of us.
Jan told me, right? He has a brain database. He knows everything. Logos. I got to play my remix.
So
my Logos remix.
I think if we order things properly, what we could do is transition soon over to the recording that we did about Holly Seliger and Jan.
Yeah.
But before we get there, maybe we should talk a little bit about Carolyn and her connections.
Yeah. I just found something weird today because I'm making a folk right compilation.
Of Bolsheviks.
Yeah. Because I did the Logos thing, so the other side of the kosher shekel is the whole folk right, folky folkster, folky fraudsters. And she has always promoted this Freya Aswin character, who I am like 99% sure that is a dude. Huge jaw, like huge hands, very weird looking.
Wasn't there some disgusting sexual type of degeneracy that she was promoting?
Yes. I believe there was. I covered it more in depth on a show in the past, but I just remember her being friends with a Jewish feminist, and she did vocals for an album that Current 93 put out. It's in the Discord. I forget the name of it, but the album cover is really creepy. It's a little white girl who's little toddler who's crying. Is she shirtless? I don't really remember.
Is it in the Pedocracy?
It's probably in Opposition.
Mm.
So, yeah, I just...
Okay, here it is. Yeah, part of the Circe Order of Dogblood.
Yeah, so this whole Circe Order of Dogblood thing is very strange. I covered it on a show in the past when I talked about the Process Church and all these little cults that split off from some of these movements. And their dog of choice is a German Shepherd. And, you know, we see a picture of Freya Aswin, totally fake freaking name. Yeah, the girl's...
Yeah.
Okay.
All the Pretty Little Girls Horses. Oh, excuse me. All the Pretty Little Horses.
Yeah, that's the name of the album. All the Pretty Little Horses, and it's a little girl crying. But what was I getting at before? Oh, yeah.
The
so
dogs,
Freya
German
has a
shepherds.
Picture with her German Shepherd. I know Carolyn has a German Shepherd. It's just It's just interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if this wasn't some, you know, Cersei order of dog blood stuff. Think about Current 93. That's the killy kill kill dog blood rising.
Yeah,
it's
actually
the name of one of their
another an AKA for Current 93 is Dog's Blood Order.
Wow. So there you go, Cersei order of dog blood. So, and Tabitha brought something up that was interesting, you know, saying that they might be engaging in, like, bestial relations with these animals before they sacrifice them. Because I know that their whole entire thing was centered around sacrificing these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, maybe they have their chosen ones that they don't kill. I don't know. But it's all very strange. I don't think I'm making a huge leap here to say that Freya Aswyn is part of the Cersei Order of Dogblood when she's involved with the frickin' people who do the Dog Blood Rising music.
Well, and
and call themselves the Order of the Dog.
And has also promoted Alexander Dugan, the Crowleyite Chaos Magician.
Who, Carolyn or Freya?
Carolyn, I know
yes,
about
Carolyn.
Freya, too.
I don't know. I haven't really looked into that connection with Freya. But yeah, Carolyn has promoted that, although she's deleted that from her channel. She's trying to backpedal from all that stuff. It's interesting to watch them squirm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
We're onto your bullshit. You can keep trying to obfuscate and, you know, ignore what we're pointing out. Call us mentally unhinged because we're calling you out for your bullshit. That's fine. Continue to run. You can continue to run. You can run on for a long time.
So
sooner or later, gonna cut you down.
I guess before we get to the recording about Holly, I thought it might be a good
idea. Holly Danger.
Only 30 minutes in. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Her burlesque name.
So I wanted to mention here this story just because she's been a proponent of trans kids and stuff, right?
Yeah, and if we're looking for more stuff to fill, we could always play the cringe fest between her and Jan.
Some of it. Yeah. Okay, so this is a story that I found recently. It looks like it's properly sourced, although the site is not like a reputable publication. Humans are free. Creator of Drag Queen Story Hour admits to grooming children to become transgender queers and drag queens. Of course.
Yeah.
So since America is now all but completely devoid of any real masculine men who possess the courage, bravery, and will to stand up and put a stop to this utter madness, so-called, and actually, you know what? I've seen women standing up to it.
Yeah.
Some women.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the people at like Daily Storm will point out, look at the mothers there who are bringing their children. Well, the fathers aren't stopping it.
Right, they? Exactly.
And where are the courageous men who are putting their foot down and not letting this happen?
Yeah.
Anyway, so-called Drag Queen Story Hour is now a thing at many of America's public libraries. Oh, it's spread like the plague.
Yeah.
Including at Lafayette Public Library in Louisiana, where an eccentric drag queen by the name of Dylan Pontiff is reportedly doing his part to groom, his words, not ours, innocent underage children into embracing the LGBT lifestyle.
Ugh.
As reported by Breitbart, Pontiff, an openly homosexual male who has a sick fetish for dressing in female attire and absurd makeup, has been putting on Drag Queen Story Hour at Lafayette Public Library for several months now. His presentations involved indoctrinating children as young as 3 years old into accepting transgenderism, dressing as the opposite sex, and other deviant behaviors and belief systems, all using colorful propaganda materials that look like ordinary children's books. While he's dressing in drag, Pontiff goes by the stage name Santana.
Pontiff?
Yeah, Pontiff.
Isn't that some kind of religious term?
Yeah, like Pontiff Maximus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Pope.
Yeah.
He goes by Santana Pilar Andrews, a moniker he says he uses both at the adult entertainment clubs where he performs sexual acts, as well as at Lafayette Public Library when he's with young children and toddlers. Same character for both. But don't worry, says Pontiff. The presentations he gives to little ones are customized to contain a filter, which he claims makes them appropriate for his younger audience. I'm here to let you know that this event is something that's going to be very beautiful, and for the children and the people that support it are going to realize that this is going to be the grooming of the next generation.
Jeez.
Pontiff is quoted as saying, Pontiff.
Ugh.
We are trying to groom the next generation to not see the way that they just did. Whatever he was referencing. Wow. So,
well, what about Holly's promotion of trans stuff?
Yeah.
Did you just even Google Holly Seeliger transgender? She was like an activist for transgender.
Yeah, there was an article about the Portland School Board adopts comprehensive transgender policy.
Mm-hmm.
So let me.
She was on the school board, right?
Yeah.
A burlesque Jewess. So, oh my god,
I can't get into this article. You've reached a free article limit for Press Herald. Geez. I hate when that happens. What I would be able to do, you could use the archive.org to find that one.
Okay.
But let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there.
Here we go. Mainpublic.org. I think I could find it here.
Okay.
So, Holly. Portland School Board adopts comprehensive policy to protect transgender students. And so here we go. We had long meetings and it took 7 months, but I wanted it to be right and to make sure we did it right the first time around, says board member Holly Seeliger, who is credited with championing the policy that allows transgender and gender expansive, whatever that means, students to use the preferred pronoun of their choice.
Oh my God.
And to use bathrooms and changing rooms that correspond with their gender identity.
Wow, this is great. She's really, really sticking it to the system, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe this would be a good time to...
Yeah, transition over to our newest news.
About Holly's new man and how Holly is pregnant.
She's preggers with... we'll just play the recording. Okay. Thanks for listening.
So we can...
Okay, well, I deleted the recording from last night accidentally.
Don't delete that one we just did.
I won't delete the one we just did. I'm kind of sleepy. So, okay, yeah. So, Chris Wienert, however you say this slob's name. Some people have posted his shitty videos in our chat before, and they've been told not to do that, and the GDL is bullshit. But, yeah, this is a GDL member who has now impregnated Holly Seeliger, the Jewess. So we've got GDL, you know, the Goyim Defense League member getting, I mean, I don't know if they're married, I don't know, but they're having a child. And he did a YouTube video asking people to, like, go to their baby shower registry and buy stuff.
Yeah, that's how you found out.
So gross.
And then you found the video of them together. You know what's interesting? Yeah. I just searched Chris Wienert YouTube. And it says Tim Kelly and Joe Atwell's channel. Click on the link to watch it in Podomatic. So he's there promoting Tim Kelly and Joe Atwell.
Interesting. It seems like this guy is a Christian as well.
Oh yeah, he has some videos about the rapture and Jesus coming back and very Christ-hearted topics. But we didn't sit through and
That's a pretty quick relationship change though. She went from married to did they get divorced?
I don't know if they were ever. Fully
I specifically remember
married.
Them being like, we went to the courthouse today and like, they took a picture and everything.
Didn't Holly say that it was Jan's fault that they didn't actually get
married?
Oh,
right, right, because he wasn't like divorced.
He hadn't fully divorced his other ex-wives. This is totally Logos behavior here.
Logos behavior.
But here's the thing.
But now she's...
Chris Wienert is... He's not... A race traitor. He's not in bed with the enemy because Holly has seen the light.
Oh, there's
she
no such thing as
embraced
Jews.
Embraced Logos, and according to E. Keichel Jones
and Jan,
once you embrace Logos, you're no longer a Jew. Actually, it's people like me and you because we do not embrace Logos.
We're Jews.
He's told me that.
I know
that I
know.
I am we're a Jews. Jew because I do not embrace Logos. That's the definition.
So Holly's a Jew, but she's not anymore, and we're Jews.
Her genetics have changed. She's no longer susceptible.
That's
to things
why she
like
has blonde hair
Tay
now.
Tay-Sachs, yeah, no bangs. She's not susceptible to any of these unique Jewish genetic disorders, which E. Keichel Jones ignores all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole huge book on genetic disorders within Jews, but Jews don't exist. They are a theological concept. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all. That's why they have genetic tests for Jewish blood, okay? Gosh. But yeah, I just found that pretty disgusting.
How did this happen? How did this GDL guy get hooked up with
Holly Seeliger?
I have
no idea. It's so weird. I don't understand the crossover. Or they're just all Jews and like they know each other from freaking Hebrew school.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, like hooking up with each other and getting in fights and it's fake. I don't know, but it's so weird.
No, neither of us are fans of Holly Seeliger. And but it does seem like she's out of this guy's league.
Yeah.
He seems kind of fat and slovenly, so it's just strange why they are together. But
she just wants to have a baby.
And it doesn't help her channel either, because I think a lot of her followers don't like when she's
she's
hooked up. That was her, the show that Jan made her do on her channel.
Oh, it was so great.
Was so cringy in so many ways.
The best is, like, she's, you know, in tears the whole time, and then at the end she's like, okay, guys, and she holds up this sign, and it's like, if you want to donate, here's my P.O. box. Please remember to subscribe to my Patreon for $7 to $14 a month. And she's like, and then Jan is trying to interrupt her, and she just keeps talking. You should play it.
Through all of that, and, you know, during this time, you know, Jan wanted me to move to California in May, and you know, the divorce wasn't finalized yet, and so I was kind of scared. You finally did get it finalized, though, and then
and Brian in the chat says the government isn't the truth, you know. And here's the thing, and Holly's in tears, and I'm so sorry. I'm going to switch screens here. I know that crushed Holly,
but this wasn't about the marriage. This is me coming out and lying about everything to begin with, you know. So just the whole thing, you know, it was just fraud. So, you know, I felt like I needed to come online. You know, Jan was pretty upset about all of this, and we had tried to plan, you know, like a wedding for my parents. Like, my dad's paying for like a wedding in Maine with our families and all this sort of stuff. And I'm supposed to move out to California again in August. And so I just want to let my viewers know about all of this, because I know a lot of people have seen that I've been through a lot recently and my channel has changed a lot. So it's really embarrassing. I shouldn't be doing this on YouTube at all, but you know, I'm a public figure, so I just have to let people know. And you know, burlesque, coming back to burlesque, like, make sure that you tell your partner every single thing and show them every single thing, because it will come back to haunt you in every single way. And especially if people are trying to be a Christian, and you know, it can just ruin your life. So,
well, Holly, again, I just want to reiterate that I love you, and I appreciate all your efforts to set the record straight and to correct things, and to help put the trolls to rest about the past. And I hope, you know, that we can just move forward from here. I appreciate everybody's support. I appreciate... I Belong in the Kitchens just now donated $10 support, and I appreciate everybody in the chat tonight. I appreciate all your love and support. Some people there in tears in the chat there, and they're having to go. So I understand that. We understand that. Holly, I hope you still love me too. And from here on out, I hope we can go forward and build a strong life and marriage from here.
All right, everyone. So,
if you want to answer to what do you want to answer to what I just said?
I'm just, you know, I'm just devastated. You know, I'm just dreadfully embarrassed. You know, it's really, really terrible.
Okay. All right.
So I'm just, you know, I just want to apologize, you know, to you and everyone, and tell people to be careful, you know, about what you do in your life. So, yeah. All right. So I'm going to close out the I'll have some more videos, news videos tomorrow on my channel. So I'm streaming this for my channel live. So people want to support me still, I've got my P.O. Box 5185 Portland, Maine.
I suppose you're going to need to change that.
My birthday is July 14th. So my birthday is coming up soon. So if people want to send me birthday cards or sign up on my Patreon or PayPal for my birthday, that would be much appreciated. So, all right, everyone.
And I hope that you donate more than $7 or $14, and she's going to need to change that last name on there soon. All right,
okay,
thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thanks, everyone. I hope you have a great night, and I will have more videos for you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Holly, so great.
Wait. Holly.
Guys, just send me money, please. Holly, I'm really sad. Holly, make sure to send me checks.
Holly, you got to change that last name soon.
And then he's like, please send me some super chats so I can get a steak and some tequila.
Yeah, I mean, steak and tequila to deal with the heartbreak of finding out his wife was a, or soon-to-be wife or whatever, is a burlesque dancer who was doing Illuminati.
You marry somebody without even looking into, like, basic...
Listen to mom.
Okay.
So he thought we were arguing.
And he goes, listen to mom. That's my boy. Always take mom's side. That's right.
Yeah, except when you don't give him what he wants.
I know. Yeah, then he's like, I hate you.
So what I was going to say was, I think it's just so funny that Jan had no idea about Holly's past when I had known this for months and months.
Yeah. She admitted it on her channel. She was like, I'm from a really great tribe, the same one that Natalie Portman's
from.
Well,
he didn't care about that, I don't think. Yeah, he just cared about the burlesque dancing at the Illuminati.
Well, probably just because it made him look bad. But, yeah. I mean, there's no way that he didn't know that. You really don't think he had, like, stalked her and looked up everything about her? He wanted to find someone young that he could control.
It's so out in the open. Yeah, and I think he wanted this to be the edge he had over Holly, to be able to control her, shame her, publicly shame her.
Yep.
So that he
has control over her, and he can isolate her from her viewers and any guys that might reach out and try and steal her. That didn't really work too
well for Jan.
No. Well, Jan is autistic. He talks like this. Oh, speaking of Jan, okay, Raleigh over at Pedo Lovers Radio had on Charles Giuliani. Now, Charles has no idea what these dudes are all about over there.
Well, the fact that they've interviewed...
Zen Gardner. T. Matthew Phillips was welcomed back on there after I brought up to them that this dude is defending child molesters in court. He's choosing to go out of his way to defend these clients.
And
they had no problem with that.
And also Ollie Domegaard, who is the big defender of Zen.
And what was his stupid name? Kadlakevich, whatever the heck. Richard. He was defending Zen Gardner as well. And so, yeah, they had on Charlie. And then, for some reason, Raleigh was able to get Jan Irving to call in, which makes zero sense to me. I don't know what pull Raleigh has with Jan. Maybe he just donated money to him or something. So Jan calls in, and he basically ambushes Charles, because Charles has no idea what Jan is even on about. He knew about Gnostic Media, and he was, like, being nice at first. And I think he thought of Jan as someone that he could maybe agree with on things, and he was trying to, like, agree with him on certain things in the beginning. But then when Charles finally caught on that Jan was a Christian, he was like, all right, enough of this. And then they started to go at it. And, yeah, good job, Raleigh. You know that's the only way anyone will listen to your shows, because you're such a terrible host. But it was just really interesting. Jan got all mad and left. And, you know, he was just like, do you have citations for your things? He's like, I'm listing Bible verses, dude. That's a citation.
I'll send you my book.
Yeah, and he's like, no, I asked you right now. You're the one who's... It was terrible. So I just found that really strange. Why would Jan call into Raleigh's show?
Yes.
And then Jan is kvetching about how he's so censored. He's like, oh yeah, I've been blackballed too. The only place I'm welcome is InfoWars. And YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay, dude.
The biggest social media platform for people who have podcasts and live streams, and also the biggest alternative news outlet.
His major switch right now might be, well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but might be to just discredit everything he's exposed.
Could be.
Because he's exposed a lot. And the people that go on his shows, they might share some interesting stuff, but they're shady as hell because they're associating with Jan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't just think that, oh, they just have no idea. You know, oh, they're just trying to get their message out there. No. This dude is bad news.
It's weird how he went from doing the whole new chronology stuff, which was
the flamenco.
It was getting pretty suspicious. I was interested.
Yeah.
Where's this going?
Yeah.
And then it shifted all over to
Islam.
Logos and natural law versus Islam.
Yep. Yep. And he was trying to tell Charles that, oh, the Talmud, you know, I looked into it and it's all false. It's not true. But, I mean, they could put false stuff out there to be able to say, look, it's not real, you know?
Yeah.
But when you look at what the Talmud says and what is going on today...
Yeah, there might be a few quotes from the supposed Talmud that are not actually in the official Talmud, which might come from some other Jewish document that are put out there and circulated so as to say, oh, look, that's not actually in the Talmud. All of these must be fake.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got this big campaign to debunk the Talmud as being an evil document. What kind of agenda does this dude have?
And to focus on Islamic terrorism.
Yeah.
Jan was like, I see everybody hyper-focusing on Judaism, but I'm talking about Islamic terrorism. And I don't think really Charlie understood what this guy was saying. He was just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. All right. I mean, I felt bad for Charlie. Like, he was ambushed.
Mm-hmm.
And why would Raleigh plan that? I mean, maybe just to have some good radio for people to listen to, because, you know, his other stuff is terrible. I don't know.
You want to talk about what you're drinking there, what people are hearing?
Drinking matcha, yeah. Just keep pouring more hot water into my matcha, because I always put too much in, and then it, like, clumps at the bottom. So I just keep pouring hot water from the little teapot here, which I need to make some more water.
Now, matcha is not as strong as coffee, I don't think.
But that's what I like about it.
It has a high amount of caffeine, but it doesn't make you jittery. It does not
dehydrate you, like coffee does.
It has a lot. It has, I think, the most antioxidants of anything you can consume, it looks like. It's way higher than acai, which is one of the highest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just head and shoulders above other things that have good antioxidant count, like blueberries or grapes or whatever.
Yeah, this is our first time having the non-roasted matcha, which I like. I mean, I like the roasted, too. It's a little bit more of a robust flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, this is what we drink every morning now instead of coffee.
Yeah, I think we're better off for it, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's easier on your body and your endocrine system.
So people know what matcha is. It is green tea, but it's green tea that is grown in a particular way. I think 30 days before harvesting, they put shade over the tea leaves, so that they produce more chlorophyll and other things. It causes a change within them. And then the leaves are harvested. The ceremonial expensive grade is the...
oh, it's so expensive.
Little baby leaves.
Yeah. We should try growing it. Do you think it would grow here? Subtropical?
Maybe. I don't know.
We have a yerba mate tree.
Yeah. So what I would recommend for people to buy it would be get Japanese, not Chinese.
Yeah.
And get organic.
And order it online, because it's marked up like crazy at the health food store. The little ceremonial grade thing, it was like maybe a 1 or 2 ounce little tin.
$33.
Yeah. No thanks. I'm sure it's really good and everything, but I'm not trying to have a ceremony. I'm just trying to drink some matcha. That's all. But yeah, I like it a lot. You can add other stuff too, you know, make like a little
matcha
concoction.
Latte.
Yeah, we put like some nut milk or some maple syrup in there once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd probably be good with some chai, too. Like a chai matcha latte.
Hmm.
I tried to stay away from chai because it was, you know, kind of heating, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of those heating...
you know what's good herbs. Is we have this yerba mate chai.
Yeah, that one's nice. I like yerba mate a lot.
There's a green tea chai as well.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of chai. I like chai. Nice and flavorful.
I love chai. It's one of my favorites. It's very tasty.
Yeah. I do think people... in the Western world would benefit greatly from no longer running on Dunkin', and instead maybe getting some tea.
Running on matcha.
But you've gotta watch out for the teas, the mainstream teas that are out there,
oh,
and the tea
terrible.
Bags.
They, Lipton and
they have all sorts
Brisk.
Of things that are not good for you, whether it's on things that are sprayed on the tea leaves themselves or the bags, I guess.
Yeah, they're bleached.
Have some problems with them.
Yeah, that's why it's always just nice to get the loose leaf and use a little, you know, like a tea
ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes a little bit more time, but it's worth it.
It is, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can find tea bags that aren't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta pay a little bit extra.
You need to look into it.
Yeah, or I have these tea bags that they seal with heat.
Mm-hmm.
So you just put the herbs in, you put them in the hot water, and it seals.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
You can make your own teas. You can make your own chai. It's actually not that hard.
Yeah.
Different herbs together, some black pepper.
Yeah,
too.
I have a few teas that I made up there, like the immune one, the chill one. Just kind of mix, like for the chill one, it's kava, chamomile, passion flower, red raspberry leaf. So like no caffeine, but just really, you know, nice sedative herbs. And then the immune one is like black licorice root, echinacea. What else? Some other stuff. I think I put red raspberry in all of them.
There's one that we bought simply because it was on sale, but we could have easily made it.
Turmeric?
The turmeric tea.
Yeah.
Now, this is a really good one, and you can make it into something like a golden milk if you add some coconut milk or whatever. but and probably a little sweetener.
Yeah.
But it's so good for you. It's so anti-inflammatory. The turmeric with the cinnamon and a little bit of black pepper. There might be one other thing in there.
Clove or something.
Clove, yeah. And it tastes all right. It doesn't taste exceptionally great, but it's what you need sometimes if you've got some kind of inflammation. And most people, I'd say, are inflamed in some way or another.
Yeah, definitely. That's for sure.
Well, it was a good little tea talk there.
Yeah.
To end
tea
things off.
Tea spill.
A little tea spill, yes. I had no idea what that was.
Me neither.
I saw Daphne doing her tea spills.
Yeah, I was like, "What? Why is she spilling tea? That's not. That's wasteful." But she doesn't care about the environment, so doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got to figure out what to talk about tomorrow night for my own show.
There's always something.
There's always some junk to talk about. It's really, looking at the current events, most of that's it's junk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to make sense out of it.
Yeah. Everyone check out Choking on the God Pill with the Logos Losers up on the Renegade Tribune. Pretty good comp. Working on the next one now. It's pretty funny so far. So, yeah, should be good.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sinead for doing this here with me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with you all again very soon.
All right. Good night.